Again, here in Hebrews 11, we are studying the lives and the examples of the patriarchs from Abraham onwards to give us examples of faith. We've already seen some examples before Abraham, but here in this part of Hebrews 11, we have seen an example of Abraham, of Isaac, of Jacob, and we saw how in each case these examples have to do with death. Faith as displayed in how one approaches the end of life, the implicit recognition of a life to come in light of God's purpose. So Abraham, by faith, was able to see that God could and would keep his promise in Isaac, even if Isaac were to be offered up to God. Death would not stop God from raising up a seed in Isaac according to God's covenant plan and promise. We saw how Isaac and Jacob, by faith, also grasped their part in that plan of God, seen in their blessing of the next generation. Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. Jacob blessed his sons, all in light of God's promise, by faith in God's purpose. Now we see Joseph also, at the time of his death, how he gave commandment concerning his bones. That's what we read in Genesis chapter 50. He commanded them to carry up his bones from Egypt into the land of promise. And this was by faith. God will visit you. God will fulfill his word. God will bring you out. Bring my bones also with you. And this, as we know, really caps off a whole life of faith. Faith of Joseph is displayed not just here at the end when he is nearing his death, but throughout his life. We know the story. All throughout the narrative of Joseph's life gives us a picture of one who feared God and served the Lord. And I think there's something unique in the life of Joseph, especially in light of the other patriarchs, those who came before, in that Joseph was separated by the wickedness of his brothers from the community of God's people. The community, the covenant community, we may say. Joseph was taken out of that and put into a strange land. In a way, there's a kind of contrast between Joseph and Lot. Lot also chose to be apart from Abraham, to live in Sodom, to be joined to that city. That was his desire, that was his ambition. He pitched his tent towards Sodom. He ended up in the city, sitting in the gates of the city. We know what a danger that was for Lot and how he failed. Though he was a just man, being in the world, being surrounded by the world, having a desire for the things of the world, he was vexed from day to day with their unlawful and ungodly deeds. And he lost his witness, he lost his testimony. He became like one of them, so much so that when it was time for him to depart, they wouldn't listen to him. Even his own sons-in-law laughed at him when all of a sudden he said, God is going to judge the city. They couldn't take him seriously. He had lost that testimony. But Joseph was very different. He also was in this pagan, godless place in Egypt. Of course, in Joseph's case, it was not by choice. He was thrust into that situation against his will. He didn't choose to go there. But when he was there, we see what a difference faith makes, a strong faith, a vibrant faith. We saw how Joseph was able to maintain his witness and his testimony, even though he was far away in Egypt. And so Joseph gives us an example of faith in the context of the darkness of this world. How to be a stranger and a pilgrim when you're surrounded by the world. See how Joseph served Potiphar in the fear of God. He was sold as a slave, but he didn't abandon God. He didn't say, well, now I'm far away from my family. Why should I worship my father's God? Why should I follow that anymore? I'm here. Where has that got me? What good did it do serving the Lord, worshiping the Lord? Look at what happened to me. Enough with that. He didn't say that. He continued to serve the Lord. He continued to fear the Lord. That's why he served Potiphar so faithfully. So much so that Potiphar could trust Joseph entirely. A trustworthy slave. I'm sure that was something quite rare. It's because Joseph feared the Lord. So even when Potiphar's wife tried to get him to lie with her, what did he say? How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? This is an offense to God. He lived in the fear of the Lord. And he continued to serve the Lord, even in the prison, without despair, without complaint, without bitterness. Again, imagine what that was like. First of all, to be sold into slavery. Terrible situation. And then finally to come into the house of Potiphar to gain his trust. And then now things are going reasonably well. Yes, he's a slave, but Potiphar trusts him. He has all the advantages a slave could ask for. He just works hard, he serves faithfully, and everything is going well. And then all of a sudden, now he's in prison. Again, he might say, what good is it to serve the Lord? Look at this, another downward turn for me. Just when I thought things were getting better, a little bit, now all of a sudden this. But he continued to serve the Lord. He didn't lose his faith. He didn't abandon his faith. He didn't turn against God. He didn't turn against his brothers either. He didn't think bitterly. He did not harbor a grudge. He continued by faith to trust in God's purpose. That's something remarkable. God has a purpose, even in this. He must. There will be. I will see it one day. He didn't hate his brothers. He didn't resent them. What they did was terribly wrong, but Joseph did not harbor any grudge or bitterness. Even in the prison, he was willing to serve the Lord. Remember when Pharaoh's butler and baker came into the prison, they had their dreams. What did Joseph say? Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me the dream. He wanted to serve the Lord. He saw this is an opportunity for me to witness to the Lord. This is God's hand. This is God's purpose. How is it he was able to recognize this? By faith. Because he was thinking faithfully. He wasn't sitting there feeling sorry for himself, rehearsing all the terrible things that had happened to him, plotting revenge. What am I going to do when I get out? I'll do this, I'll do that. I'll get back at Potiphar and his wife. I'll get back at my brothers. If he had been thinking this way, filling his mind with these things, he would have been oblivious to any opportunity to serve the Lord, to testify for the Lord, to speak a word for the Lord. But he was constantly thinking faithfully. So at the end, when finally he was there with his brothers, and now he had the advantage, not them. Before they had the advantage. There were 11 of them, or 10 if we discount Benjamin. And one of him. Now he's in the majority. He has all the power of Egypt at his disposal. But he didn't take revenge when he had the chance. He forgave them. He forgave them so freely, so fully. This is something really remarkable, isn't it? Who can do such a thing? Who can forgive so freely when he has been wronged so greatly? This is faith. This is faith in action. Faith in what he knew of God's word, given through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The covenant that God had made, which Joseph surely knew. The word of God that had been given to him also through his dreams and visions. He had faith in what he knew of God's word. And he clung to that faith. And that brings us to the end of his life. And his commandment here concerning his bones. God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. His focus is on the land of promise, the land of Canaan. Again, this is by faith. They were in Egypt. He had been instrumental in bringing them to Egypt. It was necessary for them to go to Egypt in order to survive the famine. Joseph knew they would not be there forever. They would not be assimilated into Egyptian life and culture. How could he know that? By faith. God will visit you and bring you up from hence. Bring my bones. Almost every part of this is by faith. God will surely visit you. That's a recognition that there will be a you, that you will be a distinct people. How could he know that? That's faith. God will visit you and will bring you out. How could he know that? Again, that's faith. Remember what God said to Abraham. Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a foreign land. They will serve 400 years. They will be afflicted. But then they will come out with great substance. Then they will come here. Then they will take this land. And the sins of the Amorites are full. That's what God said to Abraham. That was Joseph's faith. We are here in Egypt, but this is in accordance with God's promise. This is where we are going to be for those 400 years. And then after that, we are going to come out. We're going back to the land of Canaan. Make sure you bring my bones with you. That also is by faith. Why should he care about? Why should he care about the land of Canaan? Why should he want to be buried there? What purpose is there? Even if he thinks, well, God will bring you up. If death is the end, why should he care where his bones are? By faith. By faith. Death is not the end. We are looking for that heavenly city whose builder and maker is God. We are strangers and pilgrims on the earth because we are heading for another place. That was Joseph's faith. That's why he cared where his bones would be buried. It was a witness, a testimony. Joseph saw Canaan as his inheritance from God. The inheritance for his sons and grandsons, his descendants. Ephraim and Manasseh. They will have their share in the land of promise. That's where I want to be buried. He esteemed that more highly than Egypt. Even though Egypt was the superpower, Joseph was in a great position. Second in command, second only to Pharaoh over the whole of Egypt. Where were the Egyptians buried? You know, right? The really famous Egyptians. They have wonderful tombs, don't they? Tombs that have lasted till today. Tombs that tourists go in droves to visit. If Joseph had wanted, I'm not a historian or an archaeologist, but maybe if Joseph had wanted, he could have had a pyramid for himself. A grand pyramid, and his bones are there. But that's not what he was looking for. Not this world. Even such a grand pyramid, what use is it? It won't last forever. It may last for thousands of years, but then it'll be gone. And all these pyramids, tomb robbers break in, all the gold, all the treasure, everything is taken, and they just lie empty. The people who are buried in there, mostly forgotten. By faith, Joseph saw God's promise as best. Better than all the treasures of the world. Better than all the accolades of the world. Take my bones out of this great empire. Bury them in the land of Canaan. because that's the land of promise. By faith, Joseph saw God's good purpose for his people, stretching forward in the life to come. He was looking for that city above so that all the treasures in Egypt could not compare. By faith, Joseph understood his brothers were serving the plan of God. Even their great wickedness was part of God's purpose. And he saw them and he saw their deeds in light of that, so that he bore no grudge, so that he was willing to forgive. They are my brothers. They are heirs of the promise together with me. How can I seek to destroy them? That would be to go against God. Their deeds were wicked. That was part of God's plan. That's why we are here. He thought evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring to pass as it is this day. God has accomplished his purpose. What more is there to say? What more is there to do? God has already dealt with you for your wickedness. Joseph forgave. In all these ways, Joseph is an example to us of faith. In the way he treated his brothers, in the way he thought of the world and his position in the world. So many today are dreaming of high place and position, longing, that's their ambition. I must be somebody in the world. I must have all the awards, the accolades, the recognition, the fame. If Joseph had thought that way, he would not have survived. He would not have survived the trials of the prison or the temptations of the palace. Like Lot, he would have lost his testimony. Lot thought that way. He wanted to be somebody in the world. That's why he wanted to be in Sodom. This is the happening place. This is the city. This is where all the life is, all the excitement. This is where I want to be. And he worked his way up. He was sitting in the gate. He was someone important. That's what he wanted. And at what cost? He lost everything. But Joseph didn't think that way. He had set his affection on things above, not on things on earth. He was serving the Lord. That's an example of faith. I think we can see in the life of Joseph a clear picture of just how transformative a thing faith is, how it changes our perspective. Faith is something that causes us to see things in a particular way. We see the world by faith, not the way others see the world. We see other people by faith. We see their actions by faith. Faith really changes our perspective. Even the evil deeds of others are considered in light of God's providential purpose, so that we bear no grudge. We don't take it personally. It's not that we condone evil. It's not that we are always passive in the face of evil. But faith, as it were, takes the sting out of those evil deeds. We can say, God means it for good. So and so meant it for evil. But God means it for good. And we respond accordingly. We don't react faithlessly. The things that happen to me are not really about me. They are about God and His purpose. Even the bad things that happen to me, they're not about me. It's God's purpose. This will help us all the more to forgive. Because by faith, we see God has His plan. God has His purpose. And this is all the more for us. We have all the more for, all the more of God's word. So much more of God's word than Joseph had. We see so much more. There is so much more ground for our faith to stand on. We can see the beauty that God can bring even out of evil. we can see by faith so clearly how God has forgiven us. That must change the way we see others. It must change the way we see the deeds of others. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. That's the command. Remember what Paul says to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. How he rebukes them for going to the courts, going to the law, brother against brother. What does Paul say? Why do you not suffer wrong? Why do you not allow yourselves to be defrauded? Those are hard words, isn't it? Why don't you just take it? They have done terrible things to you. Just endure it. Just suffer it. In silence. Don't retaliate. Paul says, why don't you do that? That's the last thing we might think of to say. That's our instinct, isn't it? Someone attacks me. Someone does something wrong to me. I have to retaliate. How can I just keep quiet? How can I just take it? And Paul says, why do you not suffer wrong? You are the ones who do wrong. You are the ones who defraud. You defraud your brothers. That's something we can only do by faith. Because by faith, it's not about me. Faith is not me. Faith is God. Faith is putting God in His rightful place. He comes into the picture. His plan, His purpose. This was something wrong, but God permitted it. God can bring good out of it. We respond accordingly, with God very much in view, not only self in view. That's a real impact of faith. Like Joseph, we see others in light of faith. These are my brethren. Why should I fight with them? If they attack me, where I can, let me simply suffer. These are my brethren. We see their deeds in light of faith. God has a higher purpose. That's what Joseph was able to do. That's a difficult thing. That's what faith leads us to do. And then also we see this world and our place in it in light of faith. We don't adopt the ambitions of the world, which are all focused on this life. We don't count all our treasures here. The real treasure is our participation in God's purpose, our service rendered to Him. This is the reward we are looking for. The reward that Joseph looked for was not all the accolades of Egypt. And in fact, these were soon forgotten, right? Exodus chapter 1. Just the next chapter. Not so long after this, a new Pharaoh arose who knew not Joseph. That's the point. Joseph is no more. No more remembered. No more regarded. That had been his great dream. What a foolish and vain thing it would have turned out to be. So also for us, what a foolish thing. What a vain thing if we want the accolades of the world. The world that cheers you today will forget you tomorrow or hate you tomorrow. But again, as we read in Hebrews 11, Hebrews 11 verse 14, they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared for them a city. Hebrews 13, verse 14. Here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. That must be our lives, by faith. Why are we here? To serve the Lord. Where are our treasures? They are above, where the Lord is. Our reward, our hope, is not in this life, but the next. That's the faith that will keep us from temptation. That's the faith that will keep us on the right path, serving the Lord. Otherwise, we cannot survive. We will end up like Lot. We will lose ourselves in the world. Joseph never lost himself because of his faith. And that's the warning and the reminder for us. Our labor is for the Lord, to hear him say, "Well done," not all the praise of men. Many who serve the Lord will not end up like Joseph. They may end up in the prison, in the dungeon. But all who serve the Lord faithfully will receive that reward. Not in this life, but the next. That's the thing that matters. So let us lay hold on that and work toward that by faith. Faith must change the way we look at the world. It must change the way you look at others. It must change the way you react and respond to the things that are done to you. Faith really transforms our perspective. That's the way it must be for us. May the Lord help us to examine ourselves in light of this example, to make sure that our faith is real and true, that we are really thinking faithfully, seeing things faithfully, acting faithfully. May the Lord use us also, like Joseph, to be witnesses, to be examples, to a world that doesn't know what faith is, doesn't appreciate it, that doesn't see it as anything special. The world laughs at faith. Let them see in you what a wonderful thing faith really is. Grounded in God's word, something true and real and lasting. Let's close with a word. Father in heaven, thank you again for your word, the example of Joseph, who served you so faithfully, such a wonderful example of faith, in his remarkable forgiveness, and in his looking to the land of promise at the end of his life. Pray you would help us also to live lives of faith, as we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Be with each one of us, guide us in our understanding, and help us. We pray and ask all these things in Jesus' name.